The Word of God has a power to wash the inside of the windows like nothing else can. That's why in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church, washing her with the water of the Word." Wash, did you know the Word of God washes? Washing, because there's going to be times she's going to write stuff on the inside of her belief window. "I'm not pretty. I'm no longer useful. I'm not as attractive as I used to be." And we can wash that with the Word.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was using the example of a window. And when you look out, you see negative things and you begin to believe the negativity. But if you will look at what God's Word says, it will make all the difference in the world. Here is Pastor Wayne with a conclusion of the message, Job, Outlasting Critics.
This is a COVID shield here. I knew they'd come in handy one day. And but each of us has what I call a belief window, that you see life, circumstances, even God, through this belief window. And you're going to have people and circumstances write things on the outside. Now, I'm going to write some things, and someone might say, you know, "You're ugly." And as I look through this, someone can say, "Hey, you're good looking." I go, "No, I don't know. People usually tell me I'm pretty ugly." And you see everything through that. Someone else is going to come here and write, "You're stupid." And someone else might say, "You're a loser." Now, this is going to be on your belief window. And if your parents say it enough, or your circumstances say it or not enough, or the people in your high school or your college dorm tell you enough that you're fat or you're ugly, you're no good, you're a loser, they write on your belief window. And we let them. The media is going to do that. Advertisement, Madison Avenue, will all write stuff there, because you're going to compare yourself to the models out there and you go, "Whoa, I'm way too fat." And they write, "That's right. You need this diet and you need that one because you're just too fat." And so they write all of these things, and guess what you're looking through? You're looking through your belief window, and that's all you see. Now, let me tell you where your greatest critics are. Are you ready? You can come to church and these can get erased, because someone will give you a message or a sermon or a word and you go, "Oh, I'm not. But here's where your greatest critics are. Your greatest critics are not external critics. They're internal critics. That when someone says you're ugly, you go, "You know what? I think I am ugly. I've heard that I'm stupid. I am stupid. Why? I'm fat. Why, I'm a loser." And you see, the problem is, when you put that on, it's not only on the outside, it's on the inside. And now here's where your greatest critics come in, is because you can go to church and you can hear a message and it'll clean the outside of your windshield, as it were. And you'll hear a good word, you'll hear somebody share a testimony, and you'll go, "I don't care what people say." But it's still there. Because see, your greatest critics aren't on the outside, it's on the inside. So when someone says, "You're beautiful," you say, "No, I'm not, I'm ugly." "Oh, you can do it, you can get engaged in this ministry." "No, I can't, I'm not that good." And though we come to church for years and years and we keep washing the outside of the windshield, we still go away thinking how ugly we are, what a loser we are. Because you see, here it is, your greatest critics are on the inside. You know why it was for 40 chapters? Because Job was fighting hard to not allow his external critics to become internal critics. He would work hard at it. He would debate with them and say, "No, that's not true. No, that's not true. No." For 40 chapters, he said, "I refuse to write what you're saying on the inside of my belief window." And you say, "Well, how in the world do you clean the inside? How do we do that?" You know, it's It's interesting, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus went up to a place called the Mount of Temptation. And he had to have enough in himself to be able to ward off what the enemy was trying to put on him. And he had to win. He had to outlast. Same was true with David. He went through temptation. And so it is with you. Every single one of us will have a mount of temptation. When you're the most vulnerable and most susceptible, enemy is going to come and right on the outside and wait for you to copy it on the inside. And once he can convince you, then it doesn't matter what happens to the outside of your windshield. If the inside is dirty, you still can't see. And so he's going to write it again and again until you start to agree with him. Then your greatest critics will be internal critics. Circumstances will write on the outside of your belief window. Events that you don't like, that you don't yet understand, will write, God doesn't care. God isn't real. God doesn't really love you. Circumstances write that, but that can be washed. That can be changed. It's the inside that you have to do. There are certain things that only you can do. You have to take care of the inside. Let me give you a story of that and how to do that. You know, David is one of my heroes, one of my best friends too. And it was a time in his life where he was very vulnerable. He actually lived among the Philistines, left Israel, kind of betrayed his country, as it were, ostensibly, to live amongst the Philistines because he was running from Saul and Saul wouldn't go into the Philistine camps. So in order to get a respite and peace, he actually lived among the Philistines for a year and a half just to get away from Saul. Well, finally, he returns back to a town called Ziklag, which is his town where his wife and children are living. Problem is, when he returns, the Amalekites had just raided his village. All of his warriors, 400 or so of them, come back to their wives and children, and they were all taken captive. And they're befuddled. They get mad at David. We believed in you. We went with you to do some battle. And look, what did it cost us? Our family, our wife, our children. We have nothing left. And their homes were burnt to the ground. They were so mad, the Bible says that they wanted to stone David. David was down. I mean, he was not just down, he was doobie down. So much so that it says he went out into the wilderness and he cried until there was no more tears left to cry. You ever cried that much? Cried until you could cry no more. So it said, David and his men, they all wept till they could cry no more. See the sadness? It was a sad day. And then it says this, David went out into the wilderness and cried out to God. And then here's the cool phrase. It said, and David then encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you know that there are certain times you're going to have to encourage yourself? There are certain things you got to do for yourself, like stuff on the inside. You have to sometimes encourage yourself. Yeah, he encouraged himself. Nobody encouraged him, so he encouraged himself. There's going to be times you're going to be in the hospital, no one's going to visit you. Visit yourself. Well, no one's going to pray for me. Pray for yourself. I remember I was in the shower and I had the worst migraine headache. And I said, God, you said that people could lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But I'm naked, so I need to lay hands on myself because I don't want no one to do it. But my hands are good as anybody else's, and I laid hands on my head and prayed for myself. You're going to have to pray for yourself. Visit yourself. There's going to be nobody to encourage you when you're down. Encourage yourself. Did you know that David did that? In the book of Psalms, it says, in 24, it says, he's talking to his own soul, and he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you so depressed within me? Hope again in God. I mean, he actually tells his soul, hope again in God, for I shall yet praise him. I thought, you go, boy. How many of you talk to yourself? Raise your hand. Come on, don't lie. All right. How many of you argue with yourself? Yeah, good. All right. How many of you lose the argument with yourself? We got therapy for that one. Yeah. He talked to himself. He encouraged himself. He inspired himself. There are certain things that if we're going to grow in Christ and we're going to be an outlast, or you got to do for yourself. You supply the grit. God supplies the grace. Sometimes we want God to do everything. He says, do it yourself. What? Yeah. Take care of the stuff that you've written on the inside of your belief window. How do I do that? Just like Jesus did. Remember, our best friends are in the Bible. Everything that you're going to go through has already been gone through. And Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, which is actually a real place. You'll see it's a hill, and at the top of the hill, Jesus was there, and the devil began to tempt him. And in each of the three temptations, he answered with the same phrase, "It is written." Jesus actually quoted scripture to defeat the enemy and change the stuff on the inside. People are going to write on the outside. You're going to have the tendency to write it again on the inside, because the world wants you to believe what they say. But in actuality, the most important thing about you is what God says about you, not the world, not circumstances, not events. And you want to write what God is saying about you. Then it clears up your perspective. So what cleans the inside? The Word. Knowing the Word of God. So important. That's why we encourage people to do devotions and memorize Scripture, because that's what you're going to need when you hit your Mount of Temptation. It was after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. And it's then temptation hit. Listen carefully. There's going to be seasons in your life when you're weak and hungry. You're going to be hungry for attention, hungry for love, hungry for promotion, hungry for attention, hungry for whatever. It's going to be a mount of temptation. Every single one of us will have a mount of temptation. And we need to be prepared with what? It is written. That's why in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to speak just a second to husbands, it says, husbands, love your wife just like Christ loved the church, speaking to her, washing her with the water of the Word. What? Wash. Did you know that the Word of God washes? Washing. Because there's going to be times she's going to write stuff on the inside of her belief window. I'm not pretty. I'm no longer useful. I'm not as attractive as I used to be. And we can wash that with the Word. The Word of God has a power to wash the inside of the windows like nothing else can. And that's why we need to do that, because when we write stuff on the inside, we write it down, I am ugly. I am this. And you need to stop and say, well, wait a minute. If someone says you're ugly, no. How do I wash it with the water of the Word? No. Ephesians 2:10, I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. No, you can't do it. Oh, yes, I can. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Yeah, but you're stupid. No, 1 Corinthians 2:16, I have the mind of Christ. No, the devil's going to go after you. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. No, but God really doesn't care. He wouldn't choose you if he had to choose you. No, John 15:16, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you, Wayne, and I have appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Does God really have plans for you? Oh, absolutely. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. Yeah, but you're going to have a lot of trials. James 1:12, blesses the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is written. It is written. And there's only one word that should be on this. J-E-S-U-S. Amen. You see, your greatest encourager is you. Knowing the Word of God, that will wash the inside of your belief window. Even those circumstances and people attempt to write on the outside all the time, you make sure it is written on the inside. And when it is written on the inside, it dissolves all the outside. Yeah. You see, we can outlast our critics because our best friends will show us how. And your best friends are in the Bible. And your greatest critic won't be those on the outside. It'll be the inside, because their goal is to get you to copy what they wrote on the outside, so you start believing it yourself. See, the devil has no authority to push you over the edge. He just gets you to the edge of it. And if he can get you to think you can fly, that's when you fall. Your greatest critic will be on the inside. And your greatest encourager is right here on the inside, knowing the Word of God. So when you write the Word of God on the inside, it dissolves everything on the outside. You begin to start to see clearly. And even though things come at you hard and fast, you will be an outlaster. You'll be an outlaster. I tell people in a funny way, tongue in cheek, they say, Wayne, how do you press through all of this stuff that comes at you? Because you've gone through cancer, you've gone through a heart attack, God bless you, and you've gone through all kinds of stuff. How do you keep pressing through? I say, I just look at myself in the mirror every morning. Huh? What do you mean? Well, you see, listen, what side of your head did God put your eyeballs on? The front or the back? Or the side? Put them on the front. Why? Because God is real simple. God wants you, when you look in the mirror, to keep looking and not backwards. If he wanted you to, he would have put your eyeballs on the back of your head. You'll have hair in your eyes all the time, but which way did he put your ears on your cranium? Forward or back? Forward, because he wants you to keep listening to his promises for your future, and he doesn't want you to listen to those talking behind your back. Designed it that way. Which way do your arms work better, reaching forward or back? Forward. Why? Because God wants you to keep reaching. Which way did he put your ankles on your feet, forward or backwards? Forward. Why? You haven't checked lately, have you? Take a look. Because he wants you to keep moving forward. God is a God who builds us in a way to be outlasters. Don't anchor your life to your past. Anchor it to your future. Don't anchor your life to your problems. Anchor your life to his promises. It'll change you forever. Let me finish with a poem that was written by a friend of mine, Kent Keith, and it's called Anyway. I just love it. And it reminds me to be an outlaster. And I also want to remind you to be an outlaster, so don't forget, up in the resource over the series that we have, we'll have those little keychains. I want you to pick one up, put it on your key so that you'll always remember, be an outlaster today. Maybe to internal critics, outlast them. Memorize one scripture that'll defeat that. Memorize one. And as you memorize one, memorize two, and then three, and just build it over time, and you'll be able to dissolve all of the stuff that's been written on your belief window. It'll change the way you think, see, perceive, and walk. Poem, Anyway. People are unreasonable, illogical. They'll be self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. But do good anyway. If you're successful, you'll make false friends and you'll gain true enemies. Succeed anyway. Honesty and graciousness might make you vulnerable, but be honest and gracious anyway. The good you do today may very well be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. But the biggest people with the biggest ideas can get shot down by the smallest people with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. Give the Lord the best you got. You might get kicked in the teeth sometime, but give the Lord the best you got. You might get betrayed. Give the Lord the best you got. People might say bad things about you. Give the Lord the best you got. You might not be seen as first place or successful in the rat race, but you give the Lord the best you got anyway. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled Job, Outlasting Critics. by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust you've enjoyed our program today. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
And then it says this, David went out into the wilderness and cried out to God. And then here's the cool phrase. It said, and David then encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you know that there are certain times you're going to have to encourage yourself? There are certain things you got to do for yourself, like stuff on the inside. You have to sometimes encourage yourself. Yeah, he encouraged himself. Nobody encouraged him, so he encouraged himself. Well, no one's going to pray for me. Pray for yourself.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
Our God over all, our future is in. Fear and all doubt are lost in your presence.